Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your hosts, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
Well, howdy, gentlemen.
And also joining us today is our co-host. He's Ryan. He's the number one Disney dude.
My dog started barking when you started speaking like that. I just want you to know. What's up, dudes?
Yeehaw! I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper. And we're going to talk about the wildest resort in the wilderness.
I think the skipper's got a complex, or he might have amnesia. He's in the wrong location today.
He's got some dynamite in some weird places, I think.
Hey, welcome everyone. We're going to talk about this week another deluxe resort. It's probably, I think, the only deluxe resort we haven't talked about, and it's one of my personal favorites, none other than the Wilderness Lodge. Right, dudes?
Love it. It's a soup. Honestly, it's a super underrated resort at Disney. It really is. So I'm excited that we're going to be talking about it.
Yeah, this is a fun one. This one has a lot of unique charm to it. And like Ryan said, it's definitely underrated. This is a good resort. It really is.
And it's a dude's resort too. We've talked about it in kind of drafting resorts and everything way back when. But I really was doing some research on the history. I remember a lot of things. But you know, the Wilderness Lodge, or what its predecessor was, known as the Cypress Point Lodge, was part of the original plan for Walt Disney World. You remember some of the maps in the early days? They just built the Polynesian, they just built the Contemporary, and they were finishing up Fort Wilderness. And there were plots around the lagoon where they were going to build the Mediterranean, the Venetian, the Asian Hotel. They had big plans. And over on the map on Bay Lake by Fort Wilderness, there was a little indication on one of the maps that said Cypress Point Lodge future. So it was going to be not the deluxe property that the Wilderness Lodge is today, but it was originally designed as a moderate with 550 guest rooms and then another 20 to 50 lakeshore cabins. And there was photos kind of describing this. What I thought was very interesting about this, and it was always the same location here, but there was a bigger piece of the story here that nobody led on to. And they had the Walt Disney World Railroad for Fort Wilderness. If you remember, that was there for a while, the rail tracks was in Fort Wilderness. Well, originally that was going to be going through what was called Wilderness Junction, also known as Buffalo Junction, which was another resort that was supposed to be built between the Fort Wilderness campgrounds and where the Wilderness Lodge was today. And it was going to include a Buffalo Bill Wild West show, very similar to the hotel and show that they built in Disneyland Paris. They decided not to do that because it was so centered around the show, because they built Hoop-Dee-Doo at the Fort Wilderness. And they said, we can't have two dinner shows so close together competing for the masses. So they cut out the plans for this Buffalo Junction and focused on this Cypress Point, which then became the Wilderness Lodge. So one of the things that really kicked this off is, it was sitting there with the plans and ideas for it and all these concepts for it, but it came right around the part where Eisner took over and decided he was going to do that Disney decade of expansion. And the Wilderness Lodge was the first hotel to be built since the originals were built and start that perpetual growth of all the hotels we see today. So it was kicked off by the Wilderness Lodge itself. which was to me fascinating because it, you know, it was around as an original idea, but it kind of got sandwiched in to launch everything else. And Disney at that time built all their own properties. And Eisner said, no, I have an eye for art and architecture, and I want this to be a grand hotel, and I'm going to commission some of the best architects to build our new series of hotels. And that's what he did, not only for the Wilderness Lodge, but he did it for the Swan and Dolphin, and he did it for the Yacht and Beach Club. And so, you know, Peter Dominick Jr. was hired with his whole team and company to build the Wilderness Lodge. And so that was really, and again, he said, we want to do things big. We want to do them grand, like we did with the Contemporary, and make it impressive. So that was the start of it. What the lodge took into visually, I mean, we could talk about that all day. What kind of feelings are evoked, Ryan, when you walk in that lobby of the Wilderness Lodge?
The first feeling I have is that you missed your calling as an online history professor. That's the first feeling I have.
You're too kind.
Yeah. You know, you just feel like you're out in the woods, right? Like you're out in the wild. The minute you walk in there, even though you're coming in through, you know, obviously a massive resort, you know, you're at Disney World, you know, the technology that's been put into this resort, and it, that side of it goes against everything wilderness. The minute that you step in the doors of that place, it all flies away. I mean, from the lobby to the store, to the restaurant, to the back windows that lead you back out to the lake, right? Everything, the rocks, the flow of the water, there's just like every single little point is telling that perfect story of being in the wilderness.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that's what's sort of overwhelming. When I first walked in there in the lobby and they had kind of that Western music playing in the lobby, echoing through, you really felt your step. And I've said this on previous shows, for me, the Wilderness Lodge is a vacation within the vacation. You go there, there's not a palm tree in sight. You're in the woods, right? And it starts from the drive up, kind of in the wilderness to slowly getting it. Disney, again, having a deal with Swampland, you enter the Wilderness Lodge on the second level, right? And it goes below that, and then it goes out towards the pool. So they did that sort of split level so it wasn't overpowering from the parking lot, but massive once you got in behind it. And the architect was an outdoorsman. This whole company was from Denver. And so when they did the research for it, for me, what was special about going into it is I love the national parks out west. My favorite is Yellowstone. And this is as close as to a replica of the Yellowstone Lodge, if you've ever been in there, as possible. When you go in each one, you go into either or first or second, you're like, hey, this is the Wilderness Lodge, or hey, this is Yellowstone Lodge. But then they took the artwork, they tied it back into the Native Americans with what they did with the totem poles and the art carvings, the multi-layer of the stone in the fireplace to symbol the various layers of the Grand Canyon. Everything is visually enticing, but everyone has either a naturalistic story or a story to some historical place in one of our national parks. So that's what really makes this, you know, to me, different and special, is it evokes a feeling of kind of that Wild West adventure, but safe. It also is a dude's place, right? You know, if you like the outdoors, you like camping, but maybe your significant other or family doesn't want to deal with bugs or anything, it becomes glamping, right? You're in a hotel, you're in a lodge, you're not in a camp. So so that's what kind of makes that feeling. And then since, obviously, when the DVC expanded it with the Copper Creek Canyon and the lodges, you have another different venue to in style of stay. And I don't know if you've seen those properties or what they're like, but those would be the equivalent to the bungalows at the Poly, but themed towards, you know, the Pacific Northwest for the Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah, those are on my bucket list, just like the over at the Poly, but they're awesome. Folks, definitely, if you get a chance, hop on YouTube, find a video of these. They're like mini townhomes. Like, really, that's the best way to describe them. They're apartment style accommodations. It's awesome. You can fit a huge family in here and still have plenty of room.
Yeah, what's the capacity on some of them?
Off the top of my head, I think it's like 6 to 8, if I remember correctly.
Right.
But again, they are extremely hard to get. They sell out pretty quickly.
That when they expanded that area, they added a second pool. The first pool, I have fond memories of my kids growing up there. The first pool is fantastic. Not because it has a cool slide. It's got a cool slide for small kids and everything. But that whole scene where the hot spring in the lobby flows out of the lobby, then into the waterfalls, then down to a brook, and that brook literally goes right into the pool, and you can swim against that current as the brook is there. And you feel like you're not swimming in a Florida pool. You feel like you're swimming in a natural spring swimming hole. Just fantastic.
The only knock I have for that pool is that I just wish it was bigger. I want more of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the only knock I have against it, because it's not big enough, in my opinion, for a standard deluxe hotel. You know, I think most of the deluxe hotels' pools and pool areas are much larger than that.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? So they recently expanded the Floridian and the Polynesian first, and then the Grand. Right. The Polynesian was definitely too small of a pool. When they built this pool, it was larger than the other two. And now the other two have become bigger, and yeah, it's growing that. I think that's why they added the second pool with the second features, right?
Right.
To disperse the crowd. There's just as much going on, and there's a wonderful pool bar that you can access each by, which is just a great place to hang out and eat and drink anyways.
Yeah. I think the whole thing is amazing, right? Like that whole visual that you get set up through that whole thing, it's really quite masterfully done, to be honest with you. What makes it better is in the holidays. That's the only thing that makes it better than what it already is, because when you get in the holidays and it's all lit up for the holidays and lights and stuff like that, and they have the huge tree in the lobby, all that kind of stuff, that is the only thing that makes it better than what it is standard. But it's super cool to walk through for sure. And at least, you know, stay at, yes, but even just to walk through and check out.
It does. And the rooms have recently been renovated. The traditional rooms included what they had, bunk bedrooms. So it would be a queen size bed and then two bunks in the wall, which gave you more floor space. And they since have, you know, converted to more of the traditional queen beds everywhere, right? So, and because of that, and there are some rooms that are king beds now as well, but because of that reconfiguration and its location, because it's not on the monorail loop, but it is a Magic Kingdom park, the prices at the Wilderness Lodge are slightly below the other deluxe resorts. So the real value there is you're getting these amenities, you're getting the theming, still getting a great location. You can take a bus anywhere, and you can take a boat to the Magic Kingdom very easily. But the price point is slightly less. So I think that's a great starting point for a newly refreshed rooms that are still have some great views out the rooms.
One of my favorite times to quote that for clients is when they're going to Magic Kingdom and Magic Kingdom only for 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to me, that's the perfect time to stay at those resorts, because you don't have to worry about the monorail. You don't have to worry about buses. There's plenty to do between your resort and the monorail line, right? So just by boat. So you can get anywhere you want to do that stuff. That's the perfect ideal for me. I personally, if I'm staying at a deluxe resort, for as much as I love that resort, I need to have two forms of transport, or two parks to go to with transportation, one form of transportation. So anyway, but other than that, yeah.
So once you get past the lobby, and once you get past that immaculate fireplace, which I agree, in the wintertime when that's roaring, it's even better. And once you get past the TP chandeliers and the totem poles and the trickling ponds, you end up getting out onto Bay Lake, and the views of Bay Lake are pristine. You're not looking at other hotels. You're not looking at anything. So it encapsulates that that vision of the wilderness. But once you walk down further, you see Old Unfaithful, right? There's a geyser that goes off pretty regularly. It's beyond the pool. It's pretty cool, pretty realistic looking. And that past the geyser is one of our favorite hangouts, Geyser Point, which is an outdoor, indoor-outdoor venue. And what a great place to get a cocktail and sit and watch, and just look out at the lake, right?
Yeah, that is definitely a place, a really, really nice place to chill and kind of just sit back, relax, and take it all in. And the food's good. It's got some different things over there that a lot of places don't have that you don't expect. One of the big ones was that bison burger. That's a big one that caught me off guard for the first time, but it's good food. It's got that open bar, plenty of seating, plenty of time to relax. It really gives you that nice wilderness kind of campy vibe that the resort offers. But it's the comfort of Disney. It really is. It's got everything you need. So
it doesn't. Everyone talks about the bison burger. There's been years where it kind of goes up and down in quality. It's still kind of a go-to. But there's lots of Pacific Northwest beers out there appropriate to theme. And the view is spectacular. There is another bar that before Geyser Point was built, and it was just sort of the Trout Pass bar out there, called the Territory Lounge, which is the classic inside bar. I like that because you feel so, again, sort of like you're in the wilderness and secluded, small, it's intimate. It's not, you know, a gazillion people in there. It's got a clubby feel. The themed food is spot on. So, I mean, it's, other than Disney Springs, it's the only place I know where you can get candy bacon on a wire. It has more variations of bourbon drinks than any other place. The National 95 is Whistle Pig 10-year straight rye whiskey with Argyle Sparkling Brut. So it's a French for 57, right? But it's really American whiskey and an American bubbly, right? That's the high-priced one, but the Northwoods drink is also bullet rye whiskey. There's so many old fashions. There's even an old fashioned that tastes like a s'more.
S'more so, fashion. Does that work? Can we call it the s'more fashion from now on?
More fashion.
S'more fashion.
But just great drinks, and it's just so cozy in there. There's always, it's a good place to go in as a guy. The game is always on. If there's a game in there on TV that you want to see, that's kind of the hangout. It's a nice place to go to before you go to one of the two main restaurants. What's your favorite of the restaurants, gentlemen?
So the one that I've partaken in a few times is that Whispering Canyons Cafe. I really enjoy that one just based on the atmosphere and just kind of based on what the cast members kind of present you with in there. And it's all you care to eat with those skillets that they offer in there. I mean, it's true wilderness vibe in there. Like you're getting a big hearty meal of whatever, maybe chicken, steak, whatever it is. But they treat you like you're just someone right on the trail or just out in the wilderness there. They don't treat you like a five-star restaurant. They literally slam stuff down. They give you some stream water. Ryan, I know you've done that before, and it's had that nice yellow color that really gives that vibe. The big thing they do in there is when you ask for ketchup, the whole place knows about that you need that ketchup, and everybody's running to give you that ketchup. But they treat the kids really well. They interact with them like Disney does in anywhere, but they really give that really nice experience that sets it apart from a lot of the other restaurants.
You remember when you met us there that one time, John, before we went and played golf?
Shut up.
So yeah, it's a good spot. It's a good spot. It's a good dude spot. It's a fun place. It's got the atmosphere that John talked about. It's got the fun cast members. The food hits home, right? The food is pretty good. It's a good spot. There's nothing like, you know, it's a fun camping themed restaurant, and that's exactly what you want in that spot.
It's what's also amazing is when you walk into the lodge lobby, it's immediately off to your left. And if you're in midday or evening come in, you immediately get whaled with the smell of that barbecue when you walk in, right? And it's, you know, the smokers are there out back with the barbecue, they're pumping it in. It's just an all around great spot. Okay, we established that. Would anyone like to talk about the other restaurant at the Wilderness Lodge?
Yeah, I can talk about it. The other one is Artist Point at Wilderness Lodge. Artist Point is well known for being a character breakfast. Actually, probably not as well known as it could be, but it's got a character dinner there, which is, it's home to the Snow White and the Seven Dwarves character dinner. So you get Snow White in there, and you get Dopey in there, Grumpy in there, and then you also get the evil queen. Food in there is okay. The character experience is actually pretty awesome. The theme of the overall restaurant and the theming in the restaurant fit perfectly with what they're going for. The character interactions are very, very good. You know, the Seven Dwarves make for very good character interactions. I could care less about Snow White and the evil queen, although I'm pretty sure my son pooped his pants when he saw her. And so she did a good job. But the characters were fantastic. Dopey is everything I would want Dopey to be as a character if I met him. So super cool from that perspective. The food didn't entirely hit home for me personally. It was by no means bad. It just wasn't the standard of what I expect from Disney normally. But the character interaction is worth it in its own right.
So that's Snow White and the Eight Dwarfs.
Yes, the Eight Dwarfs.
Poopy being the eighth.
Poopy joined them that evening. Carl, did you just call it poop joke?
I think he did.
Potty joke from Carl. We should get like one of those horns that goes.
So look it. It's a shame that when one thing gets great at Disney, it's at the sacrifice of something else. I have fond memories of going to Artist Point when it was a great Pacific Northwest game restaurant, right? It had obviously had Cedar Plank salmon. You got to have that as a staple. It might still have that, but it had venison and elk and, you know, duck and, you know, some good steaks in there too. Great wine list. I mean, the Pacific Northwest has got some great wines. A lot of that is still there. As far as the wines selection, but you know, they did the meals great, but it was kind of a bland experience. It was very bland in that room. There was not much going on. So when the lodge initially opened, the character breakfast there was Winnie the Pooh and Friends, and that made sense out in the woods, right? And so they discontinued that, kept the restaurant, wasn't getting the traction that they'd like to be because it was not as well themed compared to Whispering Canyon. And they brought in the great idea. And like you said, did it really well with the characters. But in exchange for doing that with characters, they kind of dumbed down the menu, you know, and kind of made it a little more basic. Good, but not, you know, a classic fine dining experience that it was. What's interesting then is then they built, you know, Geyser Point, and the quick service food there, which is kind of quick service slash table service there, is really good. So it's like they mixed it up a little bit. So those are the two main restaurants, actually three. And then there is a quick grab and go station that has, you know, breakfast and sandwiches, et cetera, in the Wilderness Mercantile that you can grab stuff and go, and you get your refillable mugs there, et cetera, et cetera. That is perfectly located because when you go there, you continue down that hallway and walk out the hallway to the dock to get the boat to the Magic Kingdom. So talk about a perfect thing is getting your coffee on the way to the Magic Kingdom. That was perfectly designed. And one of my favorite things to do as you pass that out in the morning, when you walk on the cement pathways of the Wilderness Lodge, you will see animal footprints all along the cement. And my kids used to get a kick out of naming the animals by their footprints going across there. And don't be surprised if in the middle of the night you hear a call of a moose or an elk.
What does that sound like, Carl?
Sounds like, hi, I'm a moose.
That must be a Canadian moose.
Hey,
sorry.
So it's kind of, they kind of theme that in. Certainly they pipe in crickets and fireflies and that whole atmosphere at night. And of course, you know, activities galore beyond the food would include, you got to have a campfire if you're at the Wilderness Lodge, right? And they do, you know, a campfire and movies out by the pool, as so many of the resorts do. Let me tell you something. The presidential suite there is sweet. You've ever seen pictures of it. The design of that hotel and the peak of that hotel, it's right up in the very top level with fantastic views, not only looking towards Bay Lake, but looking, it goes the full span of the hotel and you look back out across the trees of the Magic Kingdom and you can see fireworks. It's one of the few places from there that you can see fireworks. They did a great job when they built this property because they even kept the tree line growing so you wouldn't see the monorail going over by the Contemporary. You can sometimes hear it through the trees, but you can't see it because they really wanted you to feel like you were isolated in the Great Northwest. There's some lots of nearby activities. You certainly can get on a boat and go to Fort Wilderness so easily to go over there to the Hoop-De-Doo Review or any of the activities they offer there, the biking and everything. But we experienced an activity right off the docks, Ryan.
We went fishing. That's it. That's all I got for you. No, no, we did a fishing excursion. Carl set it up for us, and he and I and somebody couldn't make it. And one of the owners of Magic Vacations, Lee, and we went out there and we did some fishing, and it was great because you had a guide who took you out onto the lake, was an expert of knowing where to find all the fish. You know, would bait your hook for you, right? You got cool beverages on the boat. No alcohol, but you got cold sodas and cold Gatorade and whatever you want, right? It's all there for you as you're out there. You know, everywhere you went, the most inexperienced fisher in our group, which would be me, right, caught fish left and right, you know, because it was just stocked with fish.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything was done for you. I am not a fisherman at all, right? I don't want to bait the hook. I don't know how to bait the hook. I'll probably wind up putting the hook through my finger if I try, right? So it's a perfect experience for somebody like me because I don't mind the act. It's just all the stuff around it.
But think about it. If you were going to take your kids fishing, wouldn't that be the way to take them?
Well, the way to take my kids fishing is for them to go with their grandfather. That's okay. The perfect way for me to take my kids. but yes, if I was at Disney and I wanted to take my children fishing, that's exactly what I would do. And we've talked about it, honestly. Yeah. We've talked about it. I think we're going to do it in one of our future trips. But it was a lot of fun. You want to sit back for you know 20 minutes and just sit in the chair and rock on the lake for a while, you can do that too. You know, you're just out there to relax and hang with the boys or hang with the fam, and it was a good time. I'm glad we did it, and I think it's an experience everybody should try to do if they're staying at that resort.
A lot to offer at the Wilderness Lodge. Is there anything that we've missed, dudes?
The one thing I'll say is it's definitely an experience that's not like anything else that Disney has to offer. I mean, you get a close experience with the campground, but this is that very high upscale resort feel, but you don't necessarily really feel like you're at Disney when you're there, and it's awesome. It really, the way they did the architecture, everything, it's incredibly awesome, and it's definitely one of those places you want to stay.
I think this is one of the resorts where Disney Imagineers told the story perfectly. Like, there's very little flaw in the storytelling that they did in that resort. So that makes it, right? Every other place you can find a little flaw here and there, or something that's like out of the realm, right? Not there. Everything fits there. Everything makes sense there. So I think that's the biggest reason, in my opinion, for a Disney fan, why it's underrated. If you haven't stayed there or checked it out, you should.
Yeah, and the architect that built this then went on to build the Grand Californian in Disneyland, right? Which is that very similar feel, but a little bit of the California flair into it. And then he went on to build and design Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. And you can tell it was the same person doing it, because I think those are three of the highest quality experiences. The Animal Kingdom Lodge obviously is very well immersed and secluded from the rest of the property too. And I think a lot of the placement and strategy that the Imagineers put into it, Ryan, you're right, they did a good job. You can actually take a tour of the lodge when you get there with a guide. He's dressed up as a guided like national parks person, and you can take a tour of the lodge and talk about some of these points and how they were designed and built and the history of them. And included in that tour is a Hidden Mickey guide. And when this hotel was built, all the rage was Hidden Mickey, and they're all over the property, right? So that's a fun kind of first thing to do on your first day when you arrive, is go in, take the tour in the afternoon, feels like you're at a national park, and then enjoy the pool, kick back with a beverage or two, and you're well on your way to a perfect vacation at Walt Disney's Wilderness Lodge. And until we get to go there again, dudes, I'll see y'all later.
Later, dude.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media, on Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney, on Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney, on Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.